they knock their fish down on the boat. So if they don't have to make that really substantial investment in a cold storage, it saves that person a lot of money relative to what they're doing.
Another southeast town looks at increasing public cold storage for the local fishing industry. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Juneau's Fisheries Development Committee has revived interest in building a public cold storage in the capital city. The committee has been dormant for many years before being reconstituted by the CBJ Assembly in 2009. One of its first projects was to look at demand for more freezer capacity. As Juneau's fishing industry has grown, so too has the need for more places to store fish. Cold storage buildings take up a lot of space and are expensive to operate. Private companies have come and gone over the years. Sitka, Petersburg, and Wrangell all recently built public cold storage buildings. Could Juneau be next? Casey Kelly has more.
The Juneau Fisheries Development Committee is seeking $25,000 to update a 12-year-old feasibility study that looked at who would use a public cold storage, how much it might cost, and where it might go. Glenn Haight is a fisheries business specialist with the University of Alaska's Marine Advisory Program and a member of Juneau's current fisheries committee.
I don't know cold storage construction very well, but it's possible there's new technologies that should be considered. The past study really did get into siting, you know, where to put it, and that really has changed in the last 10 years because some of those spots aren't available. You know, and I think the processing sector here in town, the seafood processing sector, has changed.
Haight says there's more demand for freezer space now as the number of processors in Juneau has grown. Most processors have their own cold storage space, but it's limited by the size of their operation and the cost of running large refrigeration units. Besides, Haight says most processors would prefer to put their money into better equipment.
So to the extent that they don't have to spend as much money and space on that kind of thing, it really helps them. They can spend more dollars on actual processing equipment, so they can increase their processing capacity and bring in more fish.
Another group Haight says could benefit from a public cold storage is the growing number of direct market fishermen.
And for that individual, they really are working on limited space. Typically, they knock their fish down on the boat. So if they don't have to make that really substantial investment into cold storage, it saves that person a lot of money relative to what they're doing.
Juneau processors and fishermen like Northern Kita co-owner Elizabeth Babich have offered to pay $11,700 to update the feasibility study. The Fisheries Development Committee hopes to get the rest of the money from the city's Docks and Harbors Board. Northern Kita is a small processor in Lemon Creek specializing in salmon caviar. Babich says the company's freezer capacity is limited, especially during salmon season.
Our freezers are full and our blast freezer is running overtime, and so it would be nice to have a plan B where we could store our product until we can get it to market.
Babich says Northern Kita currently has to ship some of its product to Seattle for storage, which is inefficient and expensive.
You know, it's extra cost and it's complicated, and it would be nice to be able to store it here.
3 years ago, the city and borough of Wrangell built a $3.5 million cold storage with a combination of state and federal funds. Wrangell Finance Director Jeff Jaybush says the city got a $2.3 million grant from the Economic Development Administration and about $1 million from the state.
The city had some money involved in it too, but several hundred thousand, probably two or 300,000 from the city, and the rest was grant monies.
The Wrangell Cold Storage is operated by Trident Seafoods, one of Alaska's largest processing companies. While Trident is the anchor tenant, Jaybush says the company is required to rent space to other users.
Of course, fishermen, a lot of fishermen that don't even sell to Trident or deal with Trident, but will store bait there, or I know some of the shrimp fishermen in the fall time store their shrimp product before they ship them out somewhere if there's someone that sells them themselves. So, no, I've heard of quite a few people that use it, and so it seems like it's gone over well.
Haight says the feasibility study would address various operating arrangements for a Juneau cold storage, including hiring an anchor tenant to run the facility. Unlike other southeast towns, Juneau has large grocers like Fred Meyer and Walmart that could use a public cold storage. Haight says the feasibility study will gauge their interest as well.
I think what you want to arrive at is at least an initial poundage that it can use, and then design a facility that's scalable so you can increase the size as demand increases.
If the Docks and Harbors Board agrees to put up the rest of the money for the feasibility study, the Fisheries Development Committee would have to seek final approval from the CBJ Assembly. The Juneau Economic Development Council has agreed to administer the study for the city. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
The hula hoops are hung, the ninja suits are at the dry cleaners, the fry oil is properly disposed of, leftover corn dogs in the freezer, and the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds has never looked and sounded so empty. The annual Southeast Alaska State Fair brought together the assorted peoples from around the generally strewn lands of Southeast Alaska and beyond for its 42nd year in Haines last weekend. Every inch of the fairgrounds was cluttered with bustle and curiosity. For 4 days straight, the dance floor gave way to waltzers and two-steppers, dizzy to beats that changed with every act.
Well, the only way, cause I can drive slowly, is to float down the water in my river pony. I put on my shoes for a walkabout, or imagine the world from my front porch.
Award-winning cakes hid away in glass cases, piled next to collections of fox pelts and literature about slugs. Friends' names labeled works of art you never saw before. A quilt maze ran through Harriet Hall. Dozens played bingo in the corner of the hall. To one side of the main entrance, tie-dye made a comeback. On the other, Jim Heaton and his fellow carvers shared the sounds that had been behind Tlingit art for centuries.
The shape is called the tina, a money piece, and these are going on the front of the hospitality house. So we've got six different tinas and then an eagle and a raven that'll go up above them. We've got some of the main clans, not all of them, represented. We started these the middle of June, basically. Yeah. We have about 3 weeks left. So, and then about half of our crew will go back to school. We've got four of the crew are new carvers, are 14 and 15 years old, so they're going to be heading back to school pretty soon. And one guy who worked with us on the library poll, he's going to college this year. So we'll lose them. So we got to get them done. They're actually not that far away. We've got all the hard work out of the way, and now it's just some little stuff. It's where we're at out in the village. We're isolated out there in the knowledge camp. So rare that we see people. So
even the darkest, weirdest nooks and crannies were lively with humankind and puppet kind.
Check it. It's making this noise. It's like this. And then when you go around the corner,
and there's a scream, and there's something animal and guttural.
Okay, so it makes the noise. That's it. Anything else?
I mean,
anything else is wrong with your car.
No.
So it makes a noise.
Yeah.
You got a noise, and I got a closing time.
Fairgoers turned into jugglers, hula hoopers, blues singers, hip-hop activists, and Yupik linguists for one weekend through workshops with entertainers. All of it encircled by a little train and alive to the soundtrack of chatter and live music from all over the country. There was a competition for everyone, even net menders, cute puppies, and entrants throwing various medals like axes and horseshoes.
Need a ringer.
Oh, so close.
Barn animals made a comeback in McPherson's barn, which was originally built for a 4-H program that no longer exists in Haines. Gary Lowe is one of the locals who brought his animals, two alpacas.
No, he doesn't bite, it's just lips. They're like pets. They're real smart. They want to be around people.
And they spit at people.
No, they spit at each other when they're wrestling around or something.
And then there was the most popular fair attraction of all.
Hey, what can I get for you?
I got reindeer sausage.
Yeah. All right.
What can I get for you?
Oh, we like an ear of corn.
Corn!
$3.
We
with a cherry on top, if you have it, please.
The brownie. They need one more reindeer.
Plain. Barbecue?
Perfect.
Hot court!
Would you like to try some?
Is it brownie sundae or a strawberry sundae?
Or a strawberry sundae.
How about a strawberry?
Strawberry.
One slice?
Yes, please.
Hot court!
I guess you would like the mint chocolate chip.
What would you like?
Some peach juice, please.
Sure thing.
A single scoop?
Burrito or nacho?
I just can't remember.
Sorry, burrito.
So you want an utterly chocolate sundae?
I'll have a Diet Pepsi.
One beef on?
I know.
Hot fudge brownie sundae.
A water for me, please. A pop.
Cheeseburger.
You guys, too salty cheesy!
A non-fat latte, yeah. And pretty wet. Not a lot of foam.
The cherry one?
Yeah.
Okay. So would you like
perfect.
Whipped cream on it?
No thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
2 pieces of pie.
Two pieces of cherry pie.
Yep.
Okay. So $8.
Hot court!
No.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a dessert choice of ice cream on the sundae?
Fish taco.
Can I get a mocha margarita?
Mocha margarita.
Can I get it with caramel?
Thanks, sir.
Yes.
Have a good one.
Five gifts.
Perfect. Is it you? And did you get you?
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. If you have an idea for a news story, send us an email. We're at news@khns.org.